Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 10th, 2011, episode 246, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Here we go. Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. The last one to know. The last one to show I was the last one you thought you'd see there. Yeah, that's right, Glenn. Woohoo! Garth Brooks in Vegas, baby. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, so we're going to find out whether you got to sit in this lap or not a little bit later.
Gross, Glenn. Why you got to feel like that? I went to see a concert with my husband, okay? Just because I like someone. And this is what you do not understand. And other women will vouch for me. Just because we like somebody's music does not mean we want to sleep with them. It is just, they don't go hand in hand. Men may be like that, but women are not like that. There is nothing I find attractive about Garth Brooks except for his voice. Okay? Are we done with that?
Okay. We're done with that. I didn't say sleep with him. I said sit on his lap.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Like
the connotations to that are gross. So we'll leave that out of it. But I wanted to point out to you also, because I feel like it was the most beautiful weekend in Lexington, Kentucky that I can remember. I mean, a gorgeous fall weekend. The leaves are starting to change. The sun was out. The grass is still a little bit green. It is just gorgeous in Lexington, Kentucky. And I want you to ask me how I know.
How do you know that it was gorgeous in Lexington, Kentucky, which it absolutely was?
It was absolutely fantastic. And I'll tell you how I know. Because I spent the entire weekend, except for my time with Garth, the entire weekend in a sports book betting on Keeneland races. So I
that
felt
was
like
that
was
there. That was the excitement of your trip to Vegas, was the betting in a sports book?
Well, I wasn't supposed to go to Vegas except for I got the tickets to Garth, and it was going to be Chad and his brother and a bunch of guys going there, and they were going to just sit in the sports book all weekend. So I did not mess up their time and to not make it all about me. Well, I just went to the sports book and sat with them, and what was on TV but the races from Keeneland. So I proceeded to lose everything. I mean,
you should have been to the blackjack table.
Well, I did do that, and that was the only time that we actually made money. But then we'd spend the evenings at the blackjack tables and then all day at Keeneland, and it was pretty shocking, actually, because it got to the point, Glenn, where when I was placing a bet, I would come back to the table. And I would say, I would like to apologize to Ken McPeak for betting on his horse that he has been working so hard training that will now officially come in dead last because I bet on him. Dead last. I would like to apologize to Shadwell Stables for having their horse come in dead last because I didn't bet on him. I've lost, Glenn, it was amazing. I've lost every race. Even the guys were like, this is funny. One of the guys actually said, could you pick the horse you like the least so I can go bet on that one? And because I know it's going to win.
How many times do we have to tell you that dressage-looking horses do not make great racehorses? We've told you that before.
But they move nice and they trot nice. And yes, I mean, by God, I am the worst ever. And so it's Saturday and Sunday. And if you see my Facebook page, I could not get my husband out of there. I'm like, we got to go. I want to get home before dark because I got to feed the horses, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's to the point where I can't get him to leave. And he's like, let's just bet one more race. Just one more. I really want to see one horse to get a win that we bet on. Let's just pick one horse. And I said, I threw the Keeneland catalog at him, and I threw it at him, and I said, here, you do it, because clearly I cannot do it anymore. I have lost every single race. Now, you know how this is going to end, right?
He wins?
The guy looked through the catalog, and I just watched him, and he looks through the catalog, and he goes, oh, I like that horse. First of all, I really like the name, and I really like that the trainer is from Oklahoma. He's like, Dylan Lucas is from Oklahoma, so I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to bet on this horse. So he's like, how do I make the bet? And I go up, and I tell him, okay, I know you like the across the board, so tell him $2 on number one across the board at Keeneland race 9, or whatever. I think it was race 9. He's like, okay. He comes back, and he's like, they somehow made it $3 across the board. I don't know what happened, but here's the ticket. 17 minutes till post time. We sit there. Finally, the race goes off. The horse breaks first. And he's like, oh, no. Every time the horse breaks first, they come in last. I've been watching all these horses come in last. What happens? The dang horse leads wire to wire. He wins like $35 on a $3 bet. The horse wins the entire thing. Wasn't even the favorite. He's like, we got a win ticket. I was like, you got a win ticket. I don't want to play this stupid game anymore. I'm ready to go home. I've been trying to go home for 20 hours now.
Yeah, but at least you had gas money to get home then.
It was actually awesome. It was awesome. I was so glad he won. It was just perfect. And I was like, you do it. You pick it and you bet it. I'm not doing anything. And then he wins the whole entire thing. I was very, very excited, but jealous at the same time. Let's be honest.
Well, I wanted to say that right after the Daily Winnie, there's something I want to talk to you about your trip to Vegas. And we'll talk about it after the Daily Winnies, but first let's hear from Jennifer what's coming up on today's show.
Press the button on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition. It's all about communicating. First up, we will be communicating show host weekend adventures, mishaps, and capers, as you have just witnessed. And following up, we'll be treated to a lighthearted yet informative discourse on communicating with your farrier, whether he likes it or not, from Steve Davis, one of our favorite farrier contributors. And to round out our Monday, the day of the week that perennially requires a spritz of WD-40 to get past sunrise, it's the weekend roundup of horsey headlines at Equestrian Epics. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And here we are. Well, Jamie, I think that Rachel Rosenthal, we missed this last week when she posted this. I reposted it this morning. You know how we were having that little competition between the sloth and the hedgehog, which we thought was cuter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she posted a video about a little kitty that beat us both. No question, hands down, that was the cutest darn little kitty ever. So you can see the video on our Facebook page. I posted that up there. It's cute. It's really
yeah, it's awesome. And I want to tell you, too, that actually has, because it got so many hits on YouTube, do you ever watch the show Tosh.0?
No.
Okay. It's totally your kind of show. It's probably not Jennifer's kind, but it's a guy that makes jokes, and he's very inappropriate, but he makes jokes about videos that are on the Internet. The entire show is videos on the Internet. And he actually was like, all I have to do to get a million hits is be a cute kitten. So he dresses up like a kitten, lays on his back, puts the whiskers on with, Sharpie, and has somebody tickle his belly. and he does the exact same thing to try to get a million hits on YouTube. I'm pretty sure he did it because his show is kind of famous now. But, yeah, that is one of the cutest videos of all time. I mean,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Now, our cat, see, our cat was, when he was a kid, he would have bitten your hand off if you did that. So there wouldn't have been any looking cute at all. Hey, I have one more quick one here because she was so brave. This one goes out to our barn manager, Darcy, for allowing me to post a picture of her in her barn jammies, which I did on Friday. And subsequently, we've gotten a couple thank you to Denise for posting her picture of her in her barn jammies. Remember we did that a while back, and then we kind of got away from it. Well, when we walked out to the barn on Friday morning, Sunday morning, actually, we went out to the barn to help out. And we saw Darcy there looking like you see in the picture on our Facebook page. And it was rather a sad sight because what you don't see in that picture is her coat's all covered in grime and slime, and she hadn't washed her hair yet. And apparently she went to the grocery store that way because Jennifer saw her at the grocery store that way and said she looked like a pitiful homeless girl. And so I asked if I could take a picture of her and post it, and she was very kind to let us do that. So if you have your picture of you and your barn jammies at the barn, post it up there if it's PG-rated. You can post it up there. And there was something else. Before we talk about Garth and before we get
Wait,
to your daily winning.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me just comment about the pajama thing because I would like to point out that I was the first one to be in the pajamas. And we were going to do this whole thing. Oh, everybody goes and feeds their horses in their pajamas, you know, because you don't get dressed to go out to the barn when you're just going to feed. So, you know, like me, you just walk outside in your pajamas and you feed. And, oh, we were going to get so many people that we'd go, oh, everybody will post pictures of themselves in their pajamas. What happens? I'm the only freaking one. I'm the only one that's been on our website. And then one other girl, Misa, posts a picture of herself in pajamas. So I'm glad that we're coming back to this because if you look through the Facebook pictures on the horses in the morning, you come to this one random one of me in Robert Muck boots, Superman bottoms, and a tank top. And it looks so out of place. So I would appreciate it if we could gather those photos together and make a bit of a collage. So it makes more sense. Okay, people, please.
I'm thinking calendar for next year.
Yeah. That was,
I love it. Yes,
we can make a fortune selling calendars of girls in their pajamas in the barn.
No, it's just barn jammies. It can be anybody in their barn jammies because you got to be fair here. I love the barn jammies calendar. I think that's a fabulous idea.
Good. And then you go ahead and put your butt on there in your pajamas, and then maybe we'll talk about it. You and Glenn both in your barn pajamas, and then we'll talk.
But the barn's like 5 miles away, which makes it's much easier to wear your barn pajamas when you're actually the barn's in your backyard. It is much easier.
Okay. No excuses. Move on. Is it my turn yet for the daily winning?
No. Because I have something to say, because we're talking about dress and fashion. I managed to steal a picture off of Facebook, and I posted it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of Jamie over the weekend in Vegas with her hubby, looking very country and very hot, I might add.
Oh, we got a little dressed up for guards.
You were all dressed up in your very tight, slinky dress there, and you got your cowboy hat on. And what this picture doesn't show, and I couldn't find the other picture. I saw it once, and then I couldn't find it again, was you wearing cowboy boots, too, with your dress on.
Mm-hmm. It's on my homepage. If you just go to my homepage and scroll down, there's a picture of me in the boots as well. And, yes. I would first of all
looking
like to thank
girl,
my mother-in-law. Thank you. You know what? this I got a comment about the outfit because you know, well, I was so proud of myself. I was thinking I look so cute in my little cowboy hat and my little brown dress and my little boots to match. I am going to fit right into this Garth Brooks concert. It's at the Wynn. Chad has his hat on. He puts his boots on. He's got his jeans on, his little Western shirt that I bought him for this concert. And we walk into the Wynn dressed as kind of cowboys.
You're
oh, my God,
girl.
The only freaking people in the entire place with the dang cowboy hat on. I was thinking, we're going to Garth Brooks. We got to look the part. It's like dress-up time. Everybody's going to be wearing cowboy boots and hats. Chad pointed out to me that he goes, Garth's cowboy type fans cannot afford the tickets to this concert. Which we couldn't either. I just got them for my birthday from my dad. But, yeah, only people. I mean, seriously, we're walking through the wind, and we are the only – we're standing in line for Garth, and there's, like, the 3,000 people that get to get in or whatever, and there's a line that goes through the entire wind. So we had to walk through the entire casino to the end of the line. So I looked at every person going in there, and there were girls in their little Hoochie Mama dresses. There were girls in jeans. There were girls, like, dressed up in, I mean, almost like, you know, prom dresses. And then there was me in my hat and boots. I mean, seriously, the only one. It was so bad, Glenn, that a guy stopped me. This is an honest-to-God true story. I'm walking to the end of the line. Chad is a little bit behind me. We're walking forward because it's kind of a single file. And this guy stops me, and he's like, hey, can I get a picture? I was, like, reaching for his camera. And he goes, no. I want to get a picture with you. I was like, what? And he's like, you look so cute in your little cowboy outfit. I want to get a picture with you. And Chad starts laughing. He's like, go ahead. So some random guy took a picture of me because I was dressed up like a cowgirl. And I was the only one.
At the front of the line, like they do at some of those attractions you go to, you should have stood at the front of the line and charged $5 a picture. People would have thought you were somebody famous, you know, somebody like Garth's daughter or something, and you could have made a fortune.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, being the only, it's like walking into a costume contest, thing, and it's like Bridget Jones. She walks into that party, and she thinks you're supposed to dress up, and she's the only one dressed up. That was me. I didn't care.
All right, so now tell me this, though. So now you went to see Garth, and did he notice you because you were dressed up? You stood out like a sore thumb? Did he notice you?
No, I cannot say that he noticed me because I was in the balcony, and there's about 3,000 seats in this thing, and I was, you know, we got our tickets a week ago. And it's actually incredibly hard to get tickets. The only reason my dad got tickets was because he was staying at the Wynn for a conference. Because if you were just to look online, those tickets were sold out. And I was looking at Craigslist and all this, but I guess apparently they keep a couple tickets for their guests aside. So I went to the concert on tickets that were purchased a week ago. So not front row. But it's such a small theater, there's not a bad seat. I mean, we could see his face and everything like that. It wasn't like I needed binoculars. But, no, I was up on the balcony, and, you know, I was trying to be polite because I was the only idiot in a cowboy hat. I took it off because I didn't want to block the view of the person behind me. So, that was it.
Well, so how was it? Tell us.
I got to say, it was totally not what I expected. Really, honestly, I expected, you know, I knew that it was just him and a guitar. And I expected him to come out, sit down, you know, and tell him to talk a little bit, but play just song after song of his hits. I think he might have played 6 of his own songs. But he
really?
Played, like, 150 songs.
Was he covering other people?
It was actually the most interesting show I've ever been to. He walks out on stage, Glenn, and he's like, plays much too young to feel this damn old. His first hit ever. And then he's like, hey, so how's it going? And he's just talking to everybody. And he's like, so, and he starts telling stories about his childhood. And he starts telling stories about the music that his father played for him and the old country artist. And then he would play that country artist song. And then he would say, well, then my dad listened to, you know, Haggard and Jones. And then he'd play a Merle Haggard song and then a George Jones song and how that affected his growing up. And then he started with 60s country and he went through each decade. He spent some time doing the 60s music and then doing some of this really bad 60s music, and then he would play, then he got into the 70s, and how the 70s music affected his life and affected his childhood and affected his teen years, and then he went to the 80s, and it actually makes me want to go back and listen to a lot of more Haggard and Jones and all the classic country, but I realized Garth actually played their songs better than they did. He was amazing. I amazing. His voice was awesome. You texted me thinking he had no voice and he was terrible. He was amazing. He played songs that were, he made everybody laugh. I mean, it was a true Vegas show. You know, it wasn't just like kind of sit down and play some music. He was all over the place. He was singing. He was running around. But he was singing songs that he actually just made better. And he was funny. And he told funny stories. He told a story about when he was a kid. You know, he's talking about raising children now. And then when he was a kid, he heard this one song. And it just made him stop. He was in the car with his mama. And he was laying in the back window, in the very back, and he climbed down off the back window, climbed over the front seat, and sat down and listened to this song. And it's like a joke about how kids would never do that, but there was no safety. He goes, back then, the windshields were glass, the dashboards were metal, and your steering column looked a bit like a javelin. He's like, but we survived.
True. I remember sitting in the back of our, we had a van. We had a big passenger van because there were four kids and we just went to lots of places. And when the back seat was out, we used to just take lawn chairs and sit in lawn chairs in the back.
No kidding.
And we thought it was so cool when they'd stop quick because then the lawn chairs would fly forward and that was the most fun thing ever. And he's right. We all survived.
That's hysterical. That is hysterical. Yeah, that's exactly what he was talking about. And so he went to the 80s, and then he's like, and now we're at the 90s. And he's like, y'all, I don't want to brag, but I am the 90s. he started playing his own songs, and it was awesome, huh?
Do you think this was all set up? Do you think he's looking at getting back into it and doing a Vegas show? You know, maybe one of those shows where he just does Vegas?
I mean, that's what he's doing now. He plays the Wynn like every, I think, one weekend a month. And the
oh,
only
is it one
way
weekend
that,
a month? Okay, I didn't realize it was that often.
The only way that they could get him to do it, I think he does one show in November. He's not going back till February. So he pretty much makes his own schedule. And the only way they could get him to do it is Steve Wynn has to send his private jet to Garth, pick him up, bring him here for 2 days, and then deliver him back. Like, he probably left right after the show on Saturday night that I went to, and the jet flies him back home. So he's home with his family on Sundays.
So now, was the audience a rabid Garth audience, or do you think that there was just a little bit of everybody because he happened to be there and they happened to be there? And
I kind of think that's a little more it because, you know, I was hoping for some of the deeper cuts of his songs. I was hoping that they would play, you know, a lot more of the songs, like the Red Stroke and stuff that weren't hits. But when he started playing at the very end, of course, the last song he played was talking about, he was like, you know, he's like, when you're a kid, you dream of, oh, what if I wrote one song that everybody knew? And he started talking about how no matter where he is, people always sing that song back to him when he plays it. And, of course, then he started playing Friends in Low Places. Well, he plays that song, and the whole place, finally, the entire place stood up and started singing. So, to me, that shows that, you know, maybe they're not, you know, obviously like us who listen to Garth in the barn and play his music all the time, they're more people that just wanted to go see a living legend. And so they went and saw Garth, and they knew that song. So whether they knew all of his songs or not, I think his show appealed to more people the way that he did it because he played everything from like, he was playing disco songs on an acoustic guitar. It was incredible. The guy musically, there's a reason, you know, and he started playing a little, 70s rock, and he started playing this riff and he was like, and if you listen to this, and then he started playing the exact same riff and changed it a little bit and started playing Thunder Rolls. So he talked about how he got to writing a lot of the songs that he wrote. And it was just, it was incredible. But those, he only played probably 6 or 8 of his most popular songs. I think appealing to the masses.
Right.
But he was, I mean, he's amazing. Huh?
Did he do the Dan Roberts song? Did he play Beaches of Cheyenne?
did not play the Dan Roberts song Beaches of Cheyenne. Trust me, I wanted to hear that one so bad.
I bet. Well, you have a Daily Winnie, and then I'll tell you. I actually was the official timer at the Kentucky Classic combined driving event on Saturday, and we'll tell you how I might have destroyed the show. We'll find out if it actually went through without a hitch right after your Daily Winnie.
Yeah, my Daily Winnie is going to go out to two people because we have two birthdays. The first birthday is Sinead Halpin. She is an eventer. She was on our show actually when we broadcast from Kentucky. She came in third behind Mary King and Mary King this past Rolex, and she's had an amazing year. And it is her 30th birthday today. So she's hitting the big 3-0 today. So happy birthday to her. And also, special happy birthday, and I can't believe you missed this one, Glenn. Shay Moran, our musical episode, awesome Rigel Band chick. It's her birthday as well. So what does she turn, what, like 16, 15, 14? She's amazing. She's young. She's talented. And it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Shay.
Well, happy birthday, Shay. I did miss that one. I don't know how I missed that one, but happy birthday. That's terrific. She's probably 19, maybe, 18, 19, somewhere in that range. Hey, we had a great day on Saturday. We went to the Kentucky Classic CDE, which is combined driving event. And what they do with the smaller driving events like this one was at the Kentucky Horse Park is they actually do dressage, and then you go right into cones, which would be like the show jumping portion of a typical event. So you do dressage, and then you go do your cones, and then the next day everybody does their marathon, their cross country. So that's how they do it at a smaller combined driving event, and that's what we did. So I actually was the timer for cones because at the timed event they have to go in and weave in through all these cones and not knock any of them over and then do that for time. And I'll have you know, I didn't screw up once. My ADD was fine. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day. The whole weekend was gorgeous. And it was just beautiful. There were some beautiful rigs, some really, really cute ponies, some fantastic ponies. We couldn't believe some of the ponies that were there.
I got to know. So you had to sit there all day long with a stopwatch and time people and not screw up.
And I didn't screw up. Now, fortunately, see, I had this thing that I knew is that there was a backup timer because they don't trust me. So there was a backup timer.
And now
I knew that if I screwed up, the backup timer would jump in and we'd be okay. But we were there from like 7 in the morning till 5 in the evening. And then we threw a little party for the National Drive people. There's 250 rigs there for the National Drive. Just there to have fun at the Kentucky Horse Park all week, and we threw a little party for them from the driving radio show that night. So we went over, Wendy and I went over for that. So it was a terrific day, full of carriages and horses and fun people. And Jennifer came along and helped. She was a cone setter, so she helped in. What they do is they actually measure the distance between the wheels on the carriages for each carriage that comes in, and then they have to set the cones. I think it's 3 inches on each side. So they have to change the width of each of the cones between each ride, between each carriage drive. So it is a little
like
bit
changing
more
changing the jumps.
Time. Yep,
like
it's a little bit
changing the
more
jumps between things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier than that, but it does take a little bit of time to do that between each of the drives. So that's what Jennifer ended up doing, and it was just a beautiful day. We had a great weekend here in Lexington. A lot of fun. A lot of fun this weekend doing horsey things. This is the time of year that's probably the most beautiful in Lexington.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, watching Keeneland meet, you know, you could see when you're looking at Keeneland through the eyes of the simulcasting booth on the big screen, you could see Keeneland, and it's like the shot from the audience down onto the track, and the horses are parading around. And beyond that, you can see some trees that have started to lose their leaves. And then beyond the trees losing their leaves, it was amazing because you could actually see the tobacco barns on the hills in the distance. It was just gorgeous. I told Chad, I'm like, Chad, you are so, he's coming with me in April, without a doubt, because he has got to see what Lexington looks like. I mean, I lived there for a great part of my life, so I really miss it, and I've got to show him around.
Well, did you see the pictures we posted? Jennifer got to go out riding with some friends on Sunday at Masterson Station, which is the big 600-acre park across the street from us, and it's literally 5 minutes from the barn where we keep our horse. And it was just, you saw some of the pictures there. The grass is so green right now, and the trees are changing. They were just beautiful, colorful pictures of them riding. And it's just, you know, it's that time of year when it's just beautiful here. And to live, everybody in Lexington that has a horse should be so grateful. And believe me, a lot of them are using this on Sunday for having Masterson Station Park. It truly is 600 acres. There are cross-country jumps everywhere throughout the park. Or you can just take a nice casual trail ride, and it will take you an hour and a half to ride around the park. It is just beautiful, and we should just be so grateful that we have it here, because there's just very few places that have something like that where you can ride for free.
I'm spoiled because I lived there, and you can actually go to horse trials, and you can find four or five different horse trials that are all within 15 minutes. You put your horse in the trailer and you drive 10 minutes to Masterson or 15 minutes to the horse park. We're here. I just had to go cross-country schooling and had to drive 4.5 hours to find one. So people in Lexington are, or if you're around there, it's just, you're very fortunate.
Yeah,
however, you're
going
to get a lot of snow this year. Ha, ha, ha. Snow for you. Maybe
well,
beautiful now, but the grass is about to turn brown.
After we hear our interview here, I have something for you. You're busting my chops about snow. Well, I have a little reading. It's called the Arizona Diary. And I have a little reading that I want to do for you that I haven't shared with you yet. Because let me tell you what. This was so funny when I read it and Jennifer read it. We cracked up laughing because it's like you wrote it. And I know you didn't write it, but you could have written it. And we're going to have that for you after the interview. Go ahead and talk to everybody about Omega Alpha. And then we have Steve Davis, who's an AFA certified farrier, who's out of Franklin, Tennessee. And he's on the board of directors of the American Farriers Association. And Jennifer caught up with him to talk about communication with your farrier, probably something that's the biggest challenge for people out there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Omega Alpha is our sponsor today, and we do appreciate them being a part of our show because we actually really like Omega Alpha products and we use it. I mean, Jet's going to start on the GastroFX this coming, like maybe Thursday, I'll start giving it to him because he leaves for his horse trial on Friday. He'll also be using the Equine Chill. Chill out, dude, because it actually really works. And we'll get that about an hour before we go to compete. Before we go to the dressage warm-up, he will be getting the Equine Chill. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to use. But we all care about what we feed our horses and probably more than what?
His canner will be a lope.
Wouldn't that be nice? I'll take it. If that horse would ever lope, it would be like an amazing day. I would wear, you know, some sort of special shirt that has, like, my horse actually loped today written on it. Ran away into the woods with me or tried to buck me off in dressage. I'd appreciate it. All right. The actual commercial. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that is why Omega Alpha only uses natural formations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products, and Dr. Chang is well respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse, and you can see them all at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Well, thank you, Jamie. And as I said, Jennifer caught up earlier with a friend of the Horse Radio Network here, and he's a funny, great guy. His name is Steve Davis. He is a certified farrier. He's out of Franklin, Tennessee, and he's a member of the Board of Directors of the American Farriers Association, and he's a regular speaker at the AFA conventions, and I can see why. He's kind of funny, and he's just He's quintessential good farrier. So, you know, I think that we should maybe have a questions of the day too, Jennifer, is, you know, I'm trying to think, Jamie, what might be a good question of the day here, because what they talk about in here that you'll hear shortly is really talking about the frustrations of getting your farrier on the phone and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you have that problem, Jamie, or not, but.
You know, I have in the past. It has been so frustrating trying to, like, set up an appointment because a lot of farriers want you there. They need somebody there. The farrier I have now, I am so blessed. Her name is Janine Ross, and she comes to my house, whether I'm there or not, because all of my horses stand when they're tied up. She just ties them up and shoes them and then leaves. But she's awesome because I actually call her. I don't call her. I'll either text her or Facebook her. And I'll text her, Facebook her, and say, hey, Nina, if you can come out and do Jet, I'd really appreciate it. And so she'll put him on the schedule. And it's the easiest thing in the world. Now, I've had farriers that you have to call and call and call. And then I've also had the ones that come every 6 weeks, whether you like it or not, whether the horse needs it or not. Or the farriers that come every 5 weeks, and you're like, stop coming so often. Or because they have nothing else to do, or you've got the farrier that you cannot get a hold of for anything to put the shoe back on your horse that they lost 3 days ago, 3 days after you had them shod. So we've definitely run the gamut. I feel very lucky right now, but I'm interested to see, maybe a question of the day is, how does everybody book their appointment with their farrier? Do you have to call them? Do you text them? Do you Facebook them? Do they do it for you? You know, how does it work?
Cool. That's great. Well, let's hear if Jennifer and Farrier Steve came up with any solutions or suggestions that might help people who are having a little bit of an issue with their farrier.
Greetings, Steve Davis, extraordinary farrier who gives us great tips. What have you got for us today?
One of the most often asked questions is from not my clients, from other farriers' clients. How do I communicate with this guy? He won't talk to me. It's kind of like a T-shirt I saw one time. My farrier is like my cat. He doesn't come when I call him, and when he does come, he does as he damn well pleases. That's a sad commentary for profession.
Now, let's set aside the fact that you are a member of the board of directors of the American Farriers Association. Would you tend to agree or disagree with that description?
Oh, unfortunately, in some cases, it is true. I hate to admit that, but it is true.
So how do we fix it?
The greatest thing about our profession and your horses that we make our living with is that in order to serve your horse and to look out for his best interest, you must communicate with your farrier. If you have concerns, questions, whatever, you need to have a farrier who can sit with you and talk to you intelligently that you can understand, that will answer all your questions. And this is a common problem amongst everybody. Everybody's busy. We've got to get this horse done and get to the next horse. And it is a problem. I think the best way to handle it is just to say, listen, stop. I'm paying you this money to take care of my horse's feet. Now, I want some answers. I want to know why he's doing this. I want to know. You have to sometimes just take control of the situation. A lot of people have a farrier who's very giving, and he cares about your horse, and he wants only the best. And he will take time out to sit and answer your questions that all of you have. And it needs to be in a way that you understand, because, after all, it's your money. It's his time, but it's your money. And
so
it's your horse.
Would this, and I've seen this one. It's never a good idea to ask your farrier an important question when you're talking to his butt. Don't try to ask these questions when he's working on the foot. You know?
This is true. And my grandfather said one time, never talk to a lady from underneath a horse. Jenna and act like you have some type of sense in class, and you stand up and you talk. Don't talk to anybody while you're under the horse. Well, the same thing goes. Don't bother your farrier maybe while he's under there. Pick a time, because trust me, after he's been under about 5 minutes, he'll look for an excuse to get out from under that horse. But anyway, you need to communicate with your farrier. Sometimes you just really and truly, you just have to take control of the situation and go, listen, I have these questions. You've got to stop long enough to answer me. And you're standing there writing him a check. You have every right to know your answers.
That's the time to ask him an important question. When you've written his name in the pay to line, but you haven't signed it yet, look him in the eye and hold your pen off the paper and say, okay, not sign this thing.
Take your time writing that check. Yes.
Answer that question.
Answer that question.
Yeah, and do you have any specific suggestions for everybody's number one farrier communication issue, getting them to call you back?
Unfortunately, that is another problem. And I wish I had an answer for that one, but I think it varies from farrier to farrier. Some are just better communicators than others. If you're uncomfortable with it, then find another farrier. But I do think that we in my profession are getting a lot better about keeping in contact with our clients. And for goodness sake, it's just a simple phone call. Everyone has a cell phone. If you're mm-hmm. running late, you're running behind, you want to hear if your farrier is running late or running behind. You don't want to stand there and hold your horse. You mm-hmm. want to know where this guy is. And he should call and say, hey, I'm running 30 minutes late, yeah. which we all do sometimes.
So from your point of view as a professional farrier, because sometimes the communication problem is at the other end, it's on the customer side. I'm Susie the horse owner, and I have to call the farrier because my horse pulled a shoe last night. I found the shoe. Mm-hmm. It's Monday. But by golly, I have to leave for a horse show on Friday. So I'm calling on Monday at noon in a panic that mm-hmm. my horse needs to have his shoe put back on.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some parameters of how customers should be reasonable? Because one guy's emergency is not another guy's headache, necessarily. Just because Susie, the show writer, wants her horse's shoe put back on by 9 p.m. Thursday night and it's Monday afternoon, when should the customer say, you know, I really should be getting called back, versus the farrier gets the message on his cell phone and says, you know, that can wait till after I eat my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some maybe personal examples?
It varies, but here's the thing. This profession that we have is a service, and it's a service to you, and you pay handsomely for it. You deserve to be treated. Your horse deserves to be treated with respect. You've paid the money. He's left. You lost his shoes. He stands behind his work. If the farrier will not stand behind his work and will not come back, put the shoe on in a timely manner, I hate to say this again, find you a farrier that will. There's no excuse for that type of behavior from a professional, whether it be a baseball player or a horseshoer. If he's performed a service, he's been paid for it, then it's his obligation to see that that is a satisfactory job. If he's lost his shoe, usually a farrier will say, this is guaranteed for so many days, put back on no charge. A lot of farriers will do that,
mm-hmm.
And that time varies. But the key to it is, if you've cast a shoe, you have every right at that very point in time to call your farrier and say, I've lost a shoe, and you should expect it to be on in a timely manner. And I'm not talking 2 or 3 days.
Ooh, you're tough.
I'm tough.
Do you have kids,
that,
Steve?
I'm tough on these guys. I want them to get that shoe back on that day and get it on within a few hours.
Do you have children, Steve?
Oh, my land, yes, I do.
Ah, now it's all clear. Got it. Now it's all coming clear.
Yes, it is.
Well, once again, fantastic information. How to use Morse code and smoke signals to speak with your farrier. Wait until he's standing and talk to him before you write the check.
Exactly.
And I've found in my experience that oftentimes a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee with extra sugar goes a long, long way when that shoe has been pulled off for the fourth time in 3 weeks. And
that is,
step it up.
I love that suggestion. I wish you were one of my clients.
I learned early on to spoil my farrier. It really makes a difference if I spoil my farrier. Nice ice cold iced tea in the summertime, hot coffee in the wintertime. You bet. And a clean hoof. Please don't give the farrier a hoof that's covered with muck.
Please don't do that.
He'll talk to you more if you clean the feet first.
Exactly.
Thanks a bunch, Steve. We'll see you next time.
Well, thank you to Jennifer and to Steve Davis from Tennessee for that. You know, that's one of the things that farriers complain about. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind, too, as customers, is that if a farrier has a good experience and enjoys coming to your farm, he's going to be more apt to come out within hours when the shoe comes off. If you're nice to your farrier and your farrier is doing a good job, you know, obviously if they're not doing a good job, get a different farrier. But if you're nice to them, they're doing a good job, you know, they're going to be more apt to want to come out to your place. So if they show up every time at your barn to do six horses and every one of the horses' feet is covered in 12 pounds of mud, it's just not inviting. It's just not something they look forward to doing coming to your house or to your barn. So that's something to keep in mind, too, is we have part of that responsibility on ourselves. You don't have that problem in Arizona. You just get a little sand.
Well, yeah, but first of all, a couple things I have to comment on here is, first of all, every farrier is not a man. My farrier is a woman. You kept saying, he. I have a she, and I'm quite proud. I am thrilled to have a female farrier. I love it because just she comes out and she just does her job, but she likes coming to my place because she is, I guess I spoil her, because I always make sure she has something to drink, and I always make an offer to do anything I need to do. But she shoes horses at the racetrack, and she does a lot of yearlings and two-year-olds. And so she gets to my farm with my 12 to 18-year-old horses that stand there tied and hold their foot up for her and everything. So she likes coming out. It's no problem for her. And the hoof is always clean because there's no mud, there's no sand. They're out in the dry pasture. So, yeah, everything. You have to understand that your farrier doesn't have to work for you. And if you really want, if you really need your farrier, or you have a competition horse and you have a system that you have to do, they have to understand that, but you have to make it a pleasant experience for them. So just keep that in mind when you do call your farrier, and self-examine. Say, what do I do? Does my farrier like coming to my house? Does she or he not like coming? What can I do to make it a more pleasant experience for them? If you call them and they don't bend over backwards to help you when you do lose a shoe, there may be something you're doing or not providing that makes them want to hurry out to your place. So keep that in mind. Do a little self-exam and try to figure out what or why may be going on, because the farrier is, I mean, it's more important than the vet at times, because you see them a lot more often. You see your farrier.
Right.
Mine comes every week for a different horse, but you see your farrier every, you know, if you only have one horse, every 5 to 7 weeks. So you need to make friends with that person.
That's right. Yep. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you for that. Now, let's get on. Speaking of Arizona.
Oh, boy.
You know, anybody that's a regular listener to Horses in the Morning for any period of time, and we have many of those that have listened since day one, has heard Jamie bitch and whine about living in Arizona this summer. And we've also all seen the little diaries that have gone around about living in different parts of the country. Well, I came across one today, this morning, actually, was it called an Arizona Diary. And I looked to see who wrote it because it could have been written by Jamie. And if you think back to her talking about living in Arizona on the show here, this pretty much describes it. So Jamie gets married a while back, and, well, this isn't her diary, but it could be. So let's start on May the 15th, and I'm just going to read this. It's kind of fun. Take a couple minutes. May the 15th. Now this is the state that knows how to live. Beautiful sunny days and warm, balmy evenings. Mountains and deserts blended together. What a place. Watched the sunset from the park lying on a blanket. It was beautiful. I finally found my home. I love it here. June the 14th, the beginning of summer. Really heating up. Got up to 108 today. Not a problem, though. I live in an air-conditioned home. I drive an air-conditioned car. I work in an air-conditioned office. What a pleasure to see the sun every day like this. I'm turning into a real sun worshiper. June the 30th. Had the backyard landscaped with western plants today. Lots of cactus and rocks. What a breeze from the mountains. No more mowing for me. Another scorcher today, but I love it here. July the 10th. The temperature hasn't been below 100 all week. How do people get used to this kind of heat? At least it's a dry heat. Getting used to it is taking longer than I expected. July the 15th. This is so funny because you working outside all the time, you're going to love this one, Jamie. Fell asleep by the pool. Got a third-degree burn over 60% of my body. Missed 2 days of work. What a dumb thing to do. I learned my lesson, though. Got to respect the old sun and the climate in Arizona. July 25th. Dry heat my butt. The hot is hot. How many times did we hear that this summer? The home air conditioner is on the fritz, and the AC repairman charged $250 just to drive by and tell me it was broken. Wasn't yours on the fritz this summer?
I had to get a new one in the last house, yeah. I'm listening to this, which is great.
July 30th. Been sleeping outside by the pool for 3 nights now because it's cooler because the air conditioner is still broken. $1,600 in damn house payments, and we can't even go inside. Why did I ever come to Arizona? August 4th, 115 degrees. Finally got the air conditioner fixed today. It cost $1,200, and it gets the temperature down to about 90. I hate this state. August 8th. If another wise-ass cracks, hot enough for you today? I'm going to tear his throat out. Damn heat. By the time I get to work, the radiator is boiling over, my clothes are soaking wet, and no deodorant works well enough. August 10th. The weather report might as well be... The weather report might as well be a damn recording. Hot and sunny. It's been too hot to sleep for 2 months, and the weatherman says it's going to really warm up next week. Doesn't it ever rain in this barren desert? $1,700 worth of cactus just dried up and blew into the pool. Even the cactus can't live in this heat.
I was living in the water by cactus this summer, too.
August 14th. Well, August 14th, you're going to love this one. Welcome to hell. Temperature got to 120 today. Forgot to crack the window and blew the windshield out of my BMW. The installer came to fix it and said, hot enough for you today? My wife had to spend $1,600, the $1,600 house payment to bail me out of jail. I ripped his throat out. August 30th, last one. Worst day of the summer. I am not leaving the house. The monsoon rains finally came, and all they did was make it muggier than hell. The BMW is now floating somewhere in Mexico with its new $500 windshield. Nobody told me about staying out of the washes during the flash flood warning. That does it. We're moving back to California and buying a house next to the freeway for some peace and quiet.
What's funny is if you continued into September, the people here, finally September. Finally, it's going to be nice. September 1st. Woohoo! Glad it's September. September 15th. Dear God, why is it still 110 outside? September's supposed to be cool. September's leaves are supposed to change, but God forsaken, 110 degrees outside. September 30th. Finally went down to 99 today. 99 degrees. September 31st. Awesome. Getting out of this godforsaken state. Oh, God. Yeah, that is very accurate and appropriate.
It was a story of your summer right there. I mean, the broken air conditioner, the pool, and all the crap in the pool from the boobs. I mean, the whole thing. It was just your summer.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is as we were driving to Vegas, Chad reached over to grab something out of his, and he's an Audi, a very nice car. You know, it's older, it's already paid for, but he's got a nice car. He reaches over to get something out of the glove compartment, and he pops the little glove compartment thing up, and the entire glove compartment falls off. Boom. Because we had no garage for the last year and a half. And really, seriously, what they said about the BMW, I've never heard anybody's windshield blowing out, but it's true. Your car gets to like 150 inside. Whatever you leave inside your car is done. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to clear chapstick, because you have to have chapstick because it's so dry here, your lips crack. The chapstick melts in your car, and then it melts right out into form a puddle, and God forbid you leave it on your seat, but usually you leave it inside your little thing in your dashboard, and then how many times have I had to stick a washcloth in there and try to scrape away the melted chapstick that has formed itself like a piece of the car? And then you pull the sun visor, you go to pull the sun visor down, and both of Chad's are broken. Because the sun has melted and cracked every little piece of everything in the car. The dashboard pulls up because it sat in the sun for too long. This is Chet's Audi. That is why when we were purchasing this house, he was like, if it doesn't have a garage, I don't even want to look at it. It better have a garage. I'm not moving into a place. And I'm like, I'm not moving somewhere without a pool. So there you go.
Well, I got it. This is complete opposite. We're going to have stories here in a moment for our weekend roundup. And one of them is we have the results of the Tennis Cup, which they had to change the first 2 hours of the Tennis Cup because of massive snowfalls in the mountains. So,
wow.
Yes, man, it's such a deep snowpack. They had to actually change the first part of the course. But we'll get to that in a minute after we talk about, why don't you talk about, you know, you use this all the time. Why don't you talk about Pocket Stable, and then we'll play our song.
Well, we were just talking about calling your farrier out, and fortunately, the way Pocket Stable works is when your farrier does come out and does shoe your horse, you're supposed to take your app, Pocket Phone app, and you hit the little button, and Pocket Stable opens, and you put in the date that they came. Fortunately, I have a farrier who's sweet enough for me to call them and then call Nina and go, hey, Janine, when was the last time you came out? Because I forgot to plug it into my Pocket Stable app. So I am super disorganized. I mean, I am more disorganized than most. So thank God I have Pocket Stable, because at least I wrote down when I did the shots last time. So I know horses aren't due till November for their fall shots, because we were late getting them in the spring. God knows why. So Pocket Stable is an iPhone app that keeps all of your stuff together, all of your information in one iPhone app. It's only $3.99, pocketstable.com. Search for it in your iPhone, iTunes, whatever, because it just keeps track of your weight, your farrier visit, your vaccines, your dewormings, everything. So it is there, and go ahead and find it at pocketstable.com.
All right, terrific. Well, our song today is by Trish Lynn, it's a little bit of a kind of a rodeo song, and it's in honor of the Women's World Finals Rodeo is this week. Alan Moorhead's going to be announcing, our host for the Western Radio Show, and he's going to come on, I think, Friday and talk to us a little bit about that. But here's a little Trish Lynn, Stop Till You Drop, and then we'll be back with all the news from the weekend.
He's gonna roll. I've come a long, long way with this bad attitude. I wanna hold through my soul of my cowgirl riding boots. I'm so excited just as high as I want to. Someday I'll be there for the ride. So don't tell me, don't tell me not to try. I'm gonna fly just as high as I want to. I'm gonna roll like a river anywhere that I choose. Yeah, ain't nothing gonna slow me down, and I ain't gonna stop to the drop. I'm gonna fly just as high as I want to. I'm gonna roll like a river anywhere that I choose. Yeah, ain't nothing gonna slow me down, and I ain't gonna stop to the drop.
And that is Trish Lynn. You can find her music at trishlynn.com. Thank you very much to Omega Alpha for sponsoring today's show. And I would like you to write this down. In Arizona, it is 7:02. And what is the date today? Today is October 10th. And Glenn, I'm about to say something that I never thought I would say.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready
for this?
I'm sitting.
Alan Moorhead, Alan Moorhead, thank you. You're right. 7:02, October 10th, Alan Moorhead, thank you. You're right. Never thought I would say that, ever, ever.
Well, you know, I think I know what you're talking about, because I think the other thing that you need to write down is he paid you a compliment.
Woo, you're right. Write that down, too, because that is actually on Facebook. So we posted the pictures of me, or Glenn posted the pictures of me going to Garth Brooks, and I'm wearing just a brown cotton dress, my cowboy boots, and a hat. And, again, it was kind of embarrassing because I was the only one in the Wynn Las Vegas wearing a cowboy hat and boots, so much so that people actually asked to take pictures of me. Thinking, like you said, as Garth's daughter. No. So the whole Robert Dunn posted that I should have had a lot more bling on, and Alan posted, no, too much bling creates the line dancer look, and that he was expecting to see that look, but I had a well-shaped hat on, and I could almost hang out with the rodeo crowd. And I'm going to tell you, Alan, that is exactly what I was going for. That is exactly the look I was going for. I was going for the rodeo cowgirl look as opposed to the line dancing cowgirl look. I had not an ounce of bling on. I did have my wedding ring, but that is all I was wearing as far as bling goes. No big belt buckle, no ridiculous necklace, no, what do they call it, bedazzling on the side of the dress. That's it. I was totally going for that look. Alan, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You have no idea the difference between the line dancer look and the rodeo look.
That is not important, Glenn.
You got lucky. Let's face it. You got lucky.
I was not going for the line dancer in the bar, the barfly line dancer at 2 a.m. drunk look at all. That's not what I was going for. I was going for more like a true cowgirl look, and I didn't realize that there was a separation between line dancers and rodeo girls. So it was pointed out to me. I learned something from Alan. That's another thing you could write down at 7:05. I learned something from Alan. I learned that there is a difference. It wasn't just all in my head, and I can say that that is exactly what I was going for, Glenn. Hush.
And I didn't know until we were in Pigeon Forge 2 years ago and we went hat shopping that there was a huge difference in the shape of your hat. The well-shaped hat is appropriate depending on where you live and what you do.
I did not know that there was a shape difference. I bought mine when I was in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, because I thought that's a very westerny sounding place to get a hat. So I was in Colorado, and you have to have a hat out west. But what are the differences in the shapes?
I don't know. I don't know the differences either. Mine's probably not well shaped. I probably have the line dancer look. But then again, if you're like Alan's co-host Tammy, who's the world championship shooter, she can get away with the bling because she actually has her hat bedazzled with pistols on it. So, you know, when you're a world champion shooter, you can put anything you want in your hat and nobody can argue with you.
To see somebody try to make fun of her. I mean, seriously, let me watch you try to make fun of a girl that owns like 95 guns.
Well, this show, did you do the reset yet? Did I miss that?
I did. Yeah, you weren't listening.
Okay. All right, so this show, the Horse Radio Network show highlight today is Horse Tip Daily. And, of course, you can hear tips like Jennifer did with the farrier earlier, but also her latest tip up there at episode number 519 on Horse Tip Daily by Eco Gold is Scott Trees on Improving Your Timing. Scott is one of the most famous equestrian photographers in the world. He has done photography for all of the sheikhs over there. And, you know, he's just known for his beautiful artwork. And Scott's tip on this one was about improving your timing. And what they talked about was trying to get that timing just right on horses over jumps and things like that. And apparently there's little tricks and techniques about when you push that shutter. So you can learn that at Horse Tip Daily, episode number 519, now available over at horseradionetwork.com. And thank you, Jennifer, for doing that show. She does a great job. Well, go ahead.
Hold on. I'm just going to update these questions. Our question of the day was, what mode of communication do you use to get in touch with your farrier? And we got a bunch of comments, and some people, like Wendy, was able to – she actually can text her farrier. I just lost my computer here. But the funniest one, you know, some people can Facebook, some people have to call, but the funniest one is Laura Stewart. She says that she has to write a letter, get in the car, drive over there, give them the letter, or put the horses in the trailer and haul them there on the days that they're actually open. He's Amish, but he's the best farrier. How do you call an Amish farrier? I mean, what do you do? How do you set up your appointment?
A lot of them have this little what looks like phone booth outside the house, between the house and the barn. They have this little like phone booth, and that's where they have the phone, and you call and leave them a message and they'll call you back, and they usually have a set time, and it's usually like some god awful hour of the morning when they're going to call for 20 minutes, and they make all their calls in that 20 minutes, and if they don't call you, you ain't seeing them that day because you have to wait for tomorrow's phone call in that 20 minutes. That usually sticks something in the morning before the sun comes up, because that's when they make their phone calls, and that's how it works. Yeah. That's how it works. Hey, you know how you paid Alan a compliment and how he paid you a compliment this morning? Of course, Alan is our host of the Western Radio Show.
It's almost a little love fest.
It is a little love fest, and we can do that together because guess who's on the line? Alan, she complimented you, and you complimented her today. How does that happen? It's a Monday. It's like the love is going around the Western world.
Well, just like my mom and dad always told me, if you can't tell the truth, you don't need to say nothing at all. And it was just a good-looking outfit. But when she was talking about going to see Garth, I was on my treadmill because it's raining here at the house, and I wish we could send some out to Texas for those folks. But she was talking about going to the Garth Brooks concert, and it's just one of those kind of deals that when you go to I went to see Jason Aldean, had some backstage passes, but he called me up on my way to a rodeo, and it's just amazing how much of the line dance look you see, and it's kind of like a wannabe look. I mean, you know, they try to emulate what they see in other places, and it just doesn't come across. I don't know. It's different.
Now, tell me, Alan, you talk about the hats and having mm-hmm. the right shaped hat. What is the right shaped hat, and what's the wrong shaped hat?
Well, the right shaped hat would just depend on what kind of shape you want, but it's got to have some clean lines, a nice little crease to it, the crown not smashed in, the brim not floppy and hanging around and things like that. I'll try to look and see if I can find some good hat creases and bad hat creases. There's no particular right hat crease or wrong hat crease. And a lot of times a great hat creaser, someone who sells hats and creases hats with a steamer and such as that, I mean, they'll put it on you and they shape it to your face, they shape it to your head as to how wide you want the break to be at the front of the hat on the crease before you start getting through your wing to the side, and how it folds up and stuff like that. And it's just amazing. You can generally tell even geographically where somebody's from, by the way. A lot of the Mexicans wear what we call the taco crease. There's a point on the front and a point on the back, and then the sides just go right straight up. I mean, you can put a lot of meat in it and feed the crowd, but it's just different. I mean, you can just see and tell. And honestly speaking, Garth, his hat is not a good hat. I mean, you know, but it's what he likes. It's kind of flat brim, drops down in the front, you know, and but it's what he likes.
You watch your mouth.
But you look at George Strait, and there's even a deal to where at one time when you went to buy a hat, you know, they would ask you, well, would you want more like the George Strait crease or something like that? And it's different in different places. Bull riders like the crown in a certain kind of a way. Pleasure folks like their brims and done a little different. It's kind of cool to watch the individuality. Yes.
Enough about the hats. Because the whole point was, you paid me a compliment. You think I look good. You like my hat.
Yeah, well, the thing about the bling too is some bling is okay, like some little turquoise or coral or something like that on a necklace is really cool. But I mean, you know, it's just too much bling is too far out.
We were talking about Tammy, and she wears a lot of bling, but we were also saying that Tammy can wear anything she wants. She's owned 95 guns, and she could shoot you from dead in about 2 seconds. So you just don't argue with those people.
Yeah, but you could get away in the time it would change. It would take her to change from blanks to real bullets, though.
You make a good point, my friend. So Alan, anyway, the reason I appreciate you calling, I just wanted to point out that it was almost like an olive branch was extended when you complimented me, and I accepted that compliment, and I appreciate it. And, you know, thanks for calling in the show, and I don't know what else to say. I'm honored that the voice of the Western radio world would think that I wore Western correctly. And I would like to say that I designed that hat, but I did not. I just picked it up off a shelf at a tech store in Colorado and bought it.
so had you had time to get the man to crease it, you could have really messed it up.
I didn't even know, Alan, that you could change the shape of hats. I just liked it.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, I get all my felt hats made at Shorty's Cowboy Hattery in Oklahoma City. They're custom made. They take a shape of your head with a wire tape, and they build the hat to fit your head. And you buy what we call a blank, which is there's no shape to it at all. And with Shorty or Bobby, whoever's there shaping the hats, they know what my shape is, and I can order one. They have my size and my head on file, and they build the hat for me and shape it and send it to me. And it's ready to go. And until you have a custom-made hat, you've not worn a hat. And I was trying to look and find, there was a picture of Glenn going to a rodeo there in Kentucky one time or another just a couple of months ago and talking about posting bad hats, but...
I look good in my cowboy hat.
It looked like Glenn bought his cowboy hat in West Virginia behind a coal mine or something.
No, it was actually Tennessee. It was actually Tennessee behind the coal mine, Alan. What's wrong with
you? No, that would have been behind the moonshine still.
That's right. Thank you, Alan. We're going to talk to you later in the week about the women's rodeo coming up that you're going to be working this weekend. So we'll catch up with you later in the week about that.
Look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Alan.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, so he compliments you and he picks on me. What's up with that?
That's standard. Standard. It's the way it should be.
We better get to the news, or we're not going to have time to do any. So.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
I think that you had the first story. You wanted to talk about some fish eggs today, didn't you?
No, not quite, not so much. What I wanted to talk about is black caviar, and it is not fish eggs. It is a mare, and she is an Australian sprinting mare who is amazing. I tried to make a bet on her, but she was 1-1 when I was in Vegas. She's a bit of a favorite, and here's why. She won her 14th consecutive win. This, I guess it happened in Australia Saturday afternoon, but it was actually about midnight our time. Her 14th consecutive win, and you should recognize this name, she equaled the race record of Farlap. Again, Farlap is the super champion in Australia. If you've never seen that movie, oh, my God, 10 boxes of tissues. Holy cow. If you want to see Farlap, it's got the Man from Snowy River guy in it, Tom Burlington. Awesome movie. So Black Caviar ran this past weekend and tied his record. Now, he re-raced like 38 times or something like that, but he had 14 consecutive wins. She has only raced 14 times. I say she. She has raced 14 times and is 14-0. 30,000 people went to this small racetrack in Australia to go watch her. It sounds so much like it's like the Australian Zenyatta, but she's a sprinter. So the horse is trained by Peter Moody, and just want to congratulate her. She's awesome. She's awesome.
Yeah, that is terrific. And there's been a lot more press about her now. You know, I think we were the only ones covering the story 6 months ago, but now it's all over the world. I think she's definitely and what a great name.
Oh, yeah. It stands out for sure.
Yep. Hey, guess who's heading south? All of the Pan Am competitors are starting to head south to the border, and the dressage riders land in Guadalajara, Mexico tomorrow. Eventing follows on the 15th, and jumping comes in on the 21st. And some statistics here as far as Pan Am for the United States of all the competitors for the equestrian side. Equestrian is represented by 14 athletes who make up 627 athletes heading to Mexico to represent the United States at Pan Am Games. Of the 79 Olympians represented in the entire U.S. team, 3 are from the sport of equestrian. There are 14 horses going, 4 in dressage, 5 in eventing, and 5 in jumping. 14 riders are from 8 different states. There are also 12 different groups of owners for those horses. And as far as the staff going along to support them, there are 16 grooms, 18 staff members, which include 3 chefs to keep, 3 team leaders, 3 veterinarians go along with the team, 2 physiotherapists. What's a physiotherapist? Is that like a...
I think they just work on the riders. It's like...
Is that the rider?
I don't know.
I guess?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. 2 farriers, 1 technical advisor, 1 CEO, that'd be the CEO of the USEF, 1 chef de mission, 1 office manager, 1 stable manager, and 1 press officer. There are 34 support people for 14 riders that go along the Pan Am Games.
That's awesome. Awesome.
And we'll have more reports on that in the coming next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and talking about horses that are awesome, you know, you hear the name Black Caviar and you remember it. A horse that you've heard the name for, but you don't remember, is a guy named Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti won the biggest, I think it's almost the biggest race of the fall meet at Keeneland, the $600,000 Shadwell Turf Mile. The reason you've probably not heard this horse's name very often is because it is a turf horse and not a dirt horse. So he didn't run in the Kentucky Derby, but he did run in the Breeders' Cup Classic and came in second place to Zenyatta. And believe that was the 2009. So you've heard the name. He's won tons of stuff. He won the Breeders' Cup this past year. You can hear in the voice in my head is Gio Ponti, come down the stretch. So that's all I remember. And then another horse named Sydney's Candy, I believe, was a Triple Crown contender. Came in third place this past weekend. And then so this horse, Gio Ponti, has now won. And again, if you're thinking, I've never heard of this horse, or I have heard of this horse, here's what, $6 million. The horse has now won $6 million. And he's also 6 years old. So they continue to let him run. I do believe that, you know, Zenyatta won $7 million, and she finished at four. No, she finished at six, too. So they let these horses go a lot longer. And they just continue to win money.
Well, you know, you talked about racing at Keeneland, and let's give everybody a little flavor of it, because I do have Gio Ponti's race here. Do you want to hear it?
Awesome. Yes.
Here we go. This is him running at Keeneland over the weekend.
They're at the post, and they're off in the Shadwell Mile. Sydney's Candy comes out for the lead. There's Get Stormy from the outside, who comes away second. Wise Dan is third as they head down toward the first turn. And defending champion Gio Ponti settles in the fourth position between horses just outside of Taja Weed, who's against the rail in the fifth position for a ground-saving trip. Dance and Dance comes next, then Zoffany up on the outside, and Late Running Society's chairman is the early trailer. And Sydney's Candy has an uncontested two-length lead off the first turn. Opening quarter went in 23 and 3/5 seconds. Get Stormy goes second by a length and a half. Wise Dan is third, placed outward from the rail. Gio Ponti, fourth down toward the inside, a length and a half in front of Taja Weed, who's joined there by Dance and Dance. Zoffany next to last, just to the outside of Society's chairman, who is last against the rail and running eight lengths from the front. The first half mile went in 47 seconds. Sydney's Candy setting the tempo under Joel Rosario, leading Get Stormy by a length and a half, a gap of three now. Back to Wise Dan in third, and Gio Ponti fourth down toward the inside, still four lengths off the lead, midway on the far turn. Dance and Dance, Taja Weed, Society's chairman, and Zoffany, the three-year-old, is last, a quarter mile to come. Sydney's Candy chased by Get Stormy, a length between the top two. Wise Dan third, Gio Ponti still fourth toward the inside. Dance and Dance tries to get untracked in fifth. Final furlong, here's Get Stormy to challenge Sydney's Candy. Gio Ponti behind that pair, then Wise Dan. Final 16th of the Shadwell Turf Mile, Gio Ponti, Wise Dan charging after Get Stormy. Gio Ponti from the outside. How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today, capturing the Shadwell Turf Mile under Ramon Dominguez in 1 minute, 34 seconds.
Amazing. I mean, the horse is sitting in fourth place, and almost the announcer didn't even almost have time to say that he was moving up because he just jumped in front. It was awesome. However, I would like to point out that I did bet on this race. There was not a chance that I was going to
not guess, you
bet.
Lost.
I was going to not bet on Gio Ponti coming across the finish line, but the odds for Gio Ponti were like 2-1. So I thought, well, I'm not going to just bet him to win. I mean, obviously he's going to win. Now, who's going to come in second? Without a doubt, Sydney's Candy is going to come in second. I mean, what an awesome horse that is. So I'll go ahead and do the $2 exacta box. I put $2 on Sydney's Candy to win and Get Stormy to, Sydney's Candy to come in second, Gio Ponti to win. And then this stupid horse, Get Stormy, comes from out of nowhere and pushes Sydney's Candy to third, so I did not win. Again, another race. Shocker. I know you're shocked.
I'm shocked,
I did not
win
this one.
I'm never going racing. I'm never going to watch races with you. Ever. Ever.
Just don't. No, you. If you bet,
between
you'll
you and Jennifer.
Well. Yeah. Oh, really?
Picking all the, that horse looks like he'd be a great jumper. Yeah. Okay. Well, if there were jumps on the quarter-mile track, it'd be great. Hey, another name from the weekend that everybody should remember who follows endurance at all is the name of Jeremy Reynolds. Jeremy Reynolds won his third Tevis Cup Saturday.
Oh my God. He completed
the ride in 9 hours, 31 minutes, and that includes 2 hours of required rest time. So he actually did the whole ride in 7 hours, 31 minutes, 100 miles, at one of the hardest endurance rides. We had our guest on last week talking about this. Well, the ride began in a little different spot this year because for the first time after heavy snow in the High Sierras left much of the trail too dangerous for the horses to navigate, it was postponed actually from earlier in the year because of snow, so they had to reroute like the first 2 hours of the race this year. One of the neat stories, and I'm trying to get her on, I hope we can have her on later in the week, is a story of the number two rider that came out of this. She's 19-year-old Rachel Shackelford, and she was in the front for most of the day riding along with Reynolds. And Reynolds actually pulled away about 12 miles to the finish, but she kept up with him all the way to that point, and she finished, Shackelford finished second, and she was thrilled. She's 19 years old, and get this, Jamie, she was riding a 17-year-old Arab.
Yay!
And completed the 100-mile race on a 17-year-old Arab. And she had been riding that Arab since she was 5 years old. So she'd been riding that Arab most of his life, and she got to come in second, and she was just absolutely thrilled. So, you know, congratulations to both of them and everybody who finished. Actually, the first 10 who complete the Tevis Cup get the Hagen Cup, which is the award for those that came in the first 10, basically. And, you know, you deserve it. If you finish it all, you deserve an award for the Tevis Cup. So it was apparently a good day and some great competition out there and some good stories. Once again, come out of the Tevis Cup in California.
They make it sound so easy. It's like, oh, yeah, we were just riding along and blah, blah, blah. We were just hanging out talking. Like, the quotes from this are like the two first place and second place. We're chit-chatting along the ride. I'm like, they make it sound like they're just strolling along. To do 100 miles in the wilderness in 7 hours, you are hauling butt. You are not just like, would you like a spot of tea? Oh, no, thank you. I've got my crumpet right now. It's not like they're hanging out. They're getting chased. And by the way, I have a picture of the winner here, and we have to post it. What is up with the god-awful fashion in endurance? There is no fashion. There's no bling. This guy, I mean, I guess you're riding 100 miles at like a trot or canter, and you're going to want to be comfortable. But my God, you can at least look decent. This is terrible. This guy's in like tennis shoes, spandex pants, some sort of air. I don't know what he's wearing. I don't know. Like an Oxford. I don't know what it is. But what is up with the endurance fashion?
I think it's, you know, you asked the endurance rider we had on last week, how does he not chafe his butt? Well, I think those spandex are part of not chafing your butt right there.
I guess so.
I guess you wear whatever is comfortable. You don't care about look. They don't have the best dressed trophy in endurance.
No, and I am no fashionista by any stretch of imagination. But
oh no, according to Alan, you are quite the fashionista.
Well, that's Alan. That's sweet, dear sweet Alan. Such a love.
Well, that's it. We're done for today. We have a lot more news, which we just didn't get to because we were too busy listening to the Love Fest between Alan and Jamie. So we'll get to that tomorrow. We'll move all these news stories over. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We appreciate it. Have a great Monday. You know, you've got your coffee in you now. The work day has started, except for people like Jamie on the West Coast. And, you know, you should just be enjoying the day. It's beautiful out. Have fun and enjoy your Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9 a.m.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And we'll see you at Peeler's. I'm going to have to change that to Black Caviar.